Well, praise the Lord. Welcome, everybody. We've got a very full call this morning. So welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm excited for you today because God's got so many amazing things in store for us today, for this week. I'm so, so encouraged. You know, we were just talking a little bit before we started the recording here, and we've had massive storms in San Antonio, and there's even more happening in Cyprus and Houston and things like that. I was praying this morning for some of my friends that are there and experiencing just massive flooding. But even in the storms of life, God is so good. Reuben had just joined us for the first time, and he was mentioning that, you know, God's mercies are new every morning, and that if he only had God, he would have more than enough, and I agree with him. And I'm excited that you guys are here with us this morning and that we're going to enter into the presence of the Lord with a little bit of a Bible study first. I'm going to pray real quick. We're going to have a Bible study, and then we will pray and offer up our praises to the Lord. Father God, we just thank you for an incredible day. We thank you that even in the storms of life, you're there with us, that you help us to walk on the water inside of the storms. And I'm just tickled that you have called us today and that we're here together. Lord, I praise you and thank you for another amazing day. Lord, I do ask that the power holds, that no more damage or destruction take place. Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name that we have a time where we can just be together and prepare our hearts for the day and for the week. Father God, we glorify you. We give you honor and praise. I ask that you would help me to decrease so that you can increase, Lord. I ask that you would help us to really hear the word, that it would apply to our lives, Lord, and that we would walk away today different than what we came to this call with. We love you and thank you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I just first off want to thank you for allowing me to come into your home, your office, your car, wherever you're at this morning, joining us. And just want to just let you know how much I appreciate each one of you. Today, I want to talk to you about an identity crisis. I believe here in the United States and around the world, we have an identity crisis, and we don't live out every single day the way that God would have us live that day. You know, it's the heart that really matters in everything. It, you know, think about when your kids are little and, you know, they're wanting to do something amazing for you. Like, I can remember, I'm going to take this personal. I can remember as a little girl, my grandmother and my mom were always together. My mom was the oldest of eight. My youngest uncle was only a year older than me. So we did all kinds of things together. And I can remember the house being filled with laughter and the basement being full of laundry and doing laundry together. And one of my favorite things to do was to go help my grandmother in the yard. And she had beautiful tulips. But as I looked across the alley, there were just massive amounts of tulips and daffodils. And then later in the summer, there were roses. But there were flowers all over all the time at my grandmother's neighbor. But we knew that we were not supposed to go there because she was grouchy. And so I always stayed clear, and I just played in the yard. But one day, I just thought, I love my mom so much. I want to go and pick her the most beautiful flowers. Now, I knew not to pick Granny's flowers, but for some reason, it didn't click in my head, and I was probably only about 3, maybe 4 years old at the time. But I saw those flowers in the alley, and I thought, oh, well, they're in the alley, so I can pick them, not realizing that they had been planted by the grouchy neighbor. And I went and I picked a beautiful bouquet. I know I had 5 or 6 beautiful flowers for my mom, and I couldn't wait to go and share them with her. Now, my heart was right. I may not have done the right thing by picking the neighbor lady's flowers, and we soon learned that I had not done the right thing, and that lesson will forever be ingrained in my mind by her response and her reaction, but my heart was right, and I wanted to please my mom. I wanted to show her love and gratitude, and that's what our Heavenly Father desires in us, even if we don't do things exactly right or we keep doing the wrong thing over and over again. He still looks at our heart, not at our actions. And I don't know where you're at in your life or your walk, but you might be feeling guilty or condemned or maybe frustrated that you're still struggling in the same areas. But I want to give you encouragement today because there are areas that each one of us struggle in right now. And the enemy, he's nasty. And what he's going to do is he's going to whisper that you have to be perfect, and then God's going to bless you. That God withholds from you because you're not doing the right thing. That's simply just not true. 2 Chronicles 16:9 tells us that whose hearts are turned perfect towards him, he's going to bless. He looks at our heart and he wants them to be turned perfect towards him. That means wanting and desiring to serve him, not that we have to be perfect. Many times people look at and they think that God's looking for perfect people, and he's not. It tells us that he's looking for those whose hearts are turned perfect towards him. Now, you're going to make a mistake. I'm sorry. I wish that I could tell you that once that you accepted Jesus into your heart and you were living for him, that you would never make a mistake. But you will. What God's looking for is that desire, that deep, deep down desire to serve and to honor him with your life. And he's looking at the inside. God's looking for people who have a perfectly good heart and makes mistakes. And they can make mistakes every once in a while. He'd rather have that than someone that has a wrong heart and performs perfectly all the time. He talked about this to the Pharisees all the time, you know, because it's not just about performance. If that was the case, Jesus wouldn't have selected the disciples that he did, right? He did not. He chose people that were dishonest, they had foul mouths, used bad language. Look at Thomas, he was a doubter. Look at Peter, he wasn't disciplined, especially with his mouth. And this group was, you want to talk about dysfunction, they were dysfunctional. And they were not religious, but they were people that had the heart that would serve him and serve God. He chose them because their heart was turned towards God. We all need improvement. I mean, that's really, really clear, right? But Jesus handpicked you, just like he handpicked each one of the disciples, because your heart is sincere and it's moldable. One of the things I want you to do today is I want you to learn to accept yourself while in the process of changing. Don't beat yourself up because you're not where you think you should be in life. God said you're not a finished product yet. Isn't that good news? That you're not completely finished, but God is taking you from glory to glory. So enjoy the glory where you're at, the level that you're at, until he takes you to the next level of glory. Now, there's always going to be something or some reason that things are just not right or could be improved upon or that you could feel guilty about. And many times we don't accept where we are and give God the glory. Think about where you used to be. You're not there. You're saved. You've been accepted into Christ's family. If you've asked Jesus into your heart, if you have accepted his free gift of salvation, you're not where you used to be. You all of a sudden are born again, and you've got a brand new name. And it's because of your name and who you are in Christ that you can move from glory to glory. You can accept where you're at and know that God's still working on you. Now, I'm not saying that it's okay to just have a free license to do whatever you want, all right? But remember, you're not a finished product yet. You're still that clay on the potter's wheel. You're the clay, and he's the potter, and he's going at his own pace to create a beautiful vessel in and through you, and he knows what's best. The only thing that he asks of you is that you give your whole life to him, that you surrender, not just your goals and your dreams, but the areas that you struggle in. Only you can do this, and only God can give you the grace to overcome. If you say, you know what, I'm going to do my best, but I'm going to accept the glory that I'm at, I'm going to keep my heart towards God, and I'm going to let my performance catch up, will you be truly victorious? You know, the enemy wants to keep reminding you about all that you're not. The Lord wants to remind you about all that you are. It's not about earning his favor, but that you do your best where you're at. You know, think about Peter. I'm telling you, I love that man in the Bible. I love his example and his story because there's so many times that I can identify right with him, that I've put my foot in my mouth, that I've done things just out on a whim because I'm passionate about the Lord, and then I realize, oh my gosh, I'm over my head, or maybe I missed what God was really trying to have me do altogether. But yet God cleans up my messes and my mistakes, and he accepts me for who I am. You know, if you would look at Peter, you know, probably the people around him were probably saying, you know what, oh my gosh, you know, Peter, you are such a headache and a pain in the neck. Why do you do the stuff you do? Why do you say what you say? They would probably think that God was saying, you know what, you're a headache, you're a pain in the neck. But what he really saying is, you know what, I see your heart, Peter. Your heart's right. God keeps working with you and your life because your heart's right. All you can do is, if you make a mistake, is get up and keep going after you ask for forgiveness. I'm sure that Peter had to fight off guilt, condemnation, and lies of the enemy. I'm sure he felt like a failure, like he let God down, that he didn't do his best because he rejected Christ. After Christ was going to the cross for him, he rejected. He stayed in hiding. You know, many of us believe the lies of the devil that, you know, if our performance isn't perfect, then we have to keep our heart, you know, we're not good. But what we have to do is we have to make sure that our hearts are being perfect, because our performance is not going to be perfect. Stop beating yourself up about it. Accept yourself because your heart is right. Every single day, I want you to get up and I want you to say, you know, I'm happy where I am because I'm improving. You're in the process of being changed. And that you're not like you used to be. You're not yourself how you were before. You know, if you don't like yourself, nobody else is going to like you, because you're projecting this onto other people. They won't like you or treat you the way that they should. I see this lived out day after day after day in people that claim to be believers. You're going to be held back and not fulfill your destiny because you are always taking an inventory of everything that's wrong. So stop it. Stop taking an inventory of everything that's wrong with you, because you've got a lot more that's right with you. When God made you, he was not having a bad day. He didn't all of a sudden decide that, you know what, I'm just going to let this one be subpar today, you know? Or he didn't look and say, you know what, I just made a mistake, but, you know, I'm tired. I'm just going to let this one pass through. He's not that way. He tells us in his word, in Psalm 139:14, that I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. He made you fearfully and wonderfully. He looked at you after he created you and he said, you were good. He can't lie. He made a masterpiece. So quit living like you're mediocre, you're average, or you're a mistake. You're God's prized possession. He tells us in Ephesians 6 that we can put on his breastplate of approval, his breastplate of righteousness. It tells us to stand firm and hold your ground, having tightened the wide band of truth, God's truth, personal integrity, moral courage around your waist, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, which is an upright heart. Every day I want you to wake up in the morning and I want you to say, thank you, Father God, that you approve of me, that you love me, that you're proud of me, that I am exactly where I need to be today. When you do this, you're going to see that the chains of inferiority, guilt, condemnation, low self-esteem are all going to fall off, and that new freedom's going to come. Accept the approval of God and that you were created in his image. He approves you where you are right now. He approves you, not everybody, thinking about us collectively as a group. I'm talking about you. If you could look in the mirror right now, he's talking to you, and he's talking about you. Now, he might not approve all of your behaviors, okay? Don't get me wrong, okay? I want to make sure that I'm really, really clear. But he approves of you. He said you were good before you did one good thing. So it's not based off of your performance. It's who you are, not what you do, that God approves of. You know, we sometimes get our performance confused with our identity. It's so easy to do in today's society. You know, many times we'll ask, you know, who you are, what do you do, and people will say, oh, well, you know, as they're introducing each other. I see this all the time at networking events, and they'll say, hi, I'm Becky Spieth, and I'm a motivational speaker, or I'm an executive coach. And instantly, they take their performance as their identity, right? It's so easy to do that, but we get confused, and that's why we have an identity crisis, because we don't really realize that that's what we do. It's not who we are. Who we are is we are a child of the Most High God. We are His prized possession. Our value comes from who we are, not from what we do. It's from who we are, not what we do. You know, many times we see people that have addictions, whether it's being a workaholic, caffeine, alcohol or drugs, they're addicted. We also see people that have gone through what looks like a failure. I want you to realize that these are events. They're not the person you are. You've been set aside. You've been selected by the Creator. He said that you are good. You know, the enemy, another name for him is the accuser. God's not the accuser. The enemy's the accuser. And he's going to try to lie to you and remind you of all the bad things, all the areas that you fall short in. But I want you to know your who never changes. Your do can change, but your who, once you've accepted Christ into your life, is not going to change. And every single morning, I don't care how many mistakes you made the day before, I want you to put on the breastplate of righteousness, God's approval, every day. Because what it will do is that breastplate protects your heart. God's amazing. He wants you to protect your heart. The lies of the accuser will keep you from your destiny, and God doesn't want that. He wants you to protect your heart and your mind. He said put on the helmet of salvation, and then he says to put truth on around your waist and then protect your heart. Know who you are in Christ. There's a free download on my website, BeckySpieth.com. You can go to the free section, and then there's a sheet there that has all kinds of verses about who you are in Christ and what he says, and if we've got stinking thinking, what we can have say that's truth according to the Word of God. I want you to go and download that. But I want you to also know that you've been set apart at birth. When you were born, you were given your name. And when you were born again, you were given Christ's name, and it is established in your who. That's who you are now, and it cannot be taken away. Nothing you can do can change your who. It's been established by the Creator. And in Jeremiah 1:5, it tells us that before you were born, that God knew you, and He approved of you, and set you apart. So you can tell the enemy, when he starts his lies towards you, that, you know what? You just need to be quiet in Jesus' name, because I'm approved. Not by what I do, but because of the family I belong to. My Heavenly Father created everything, and He is crazy in love with me. He's crazy about me, and He's still working on me, and even in the process, He's approved of me. Now, I know some of you are saying, okay, but what about that sin? Well, I want you to know that when you repent and you confess to Him, that it's erased and it's forgotten by God. So stop remembering what God has already forgotten. Stop letting the enemy whisper it into your ear that you're not enough, that you lack, that you are a sinner, that you're no good. Stop listening to that and stop remembering what God has already forgotten. Quit letting the accuser remind you and then dwell on it. Don't let guilt and condemnation keep you from your destiny. The one thing, though, is I want to make sure that your sin is not a free license to do whatever you want. But also remaining in guilt and condemnation is also a sin. Not walking in the freedom of what God has already done for you and what Jesus has done when he went to Calvary and purchased your sin with his life and his sacrifice and then rose again from the dead. God's not keeping a record of all your mistakes and then wanting to keep that list and withhold from you. He's looking at your heart, and he's looking for hearts turned towards him. All he asks is that you show that you're depending on him, that you stay in communication with him, that you thank him all day long, just being with him, talking with him, sharing with him, thanking him, and then being full of gratitude. You know, he's going to give you grace to overcome and favor to reach your highest potential. God's not looking for all the times that you were knocked down or knocked out. He's looking for the good moves that you make. He's looking for those good things that you can do. And he handpicked you because of your heart. And guess what? You're right on schedule. Now make sure that you do your part. Stay positive towards yourself. Keep your heart turned towards God. He's going to show himself strong in your life. Romans 8:28 tells us that God's working all things together for good for those that love him and have been called according to his purpose because he sees your heart. He also helps us clean up the messes that we make and sometimes even prevents those. You know, he tells us in James 1:5 that he's going to give us wisdom without finding fault. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it'll be given to you. So if you're unsure of what to do or how to do something, just go to him because he promises he's going to give you the wisdom to overcome that. You know, he doesn't say that he's going to withhold from you. Think about Mary and her alabaster box. You know, Jesus went to have dinner with one of the Pharisees, and there came a woman. And she brought this really expensive perfume, and she wanted to anoint Jesus with it. And what she did is she stood before him at his feet weeping. She began to wet his feet with her tears. She wiped them with her hair and kissed him and poured perfume on them. And when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, again, those people that were only looking at performance, not heart, the Pharisee said to himself, well, if this man really were a prophet, he would know who's touching him and what kind of a woman she is, that she's a sinner. She spent all of her time in the red light district, if you know what I mean, and she was a woman of very poor reputation. And Jesus just looked at him and he said, Simon, I have something I need to tell you. And Simon returned back and he said, okay, tell me, preacher. He said, two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which one will love him more? Simon replied, well, I suppose it would be the one that had the bigger debt forgiven. Jesus said, yep, you've got that right. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You didn't even give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them from her hair. You didn't even give me a kiss. But this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head. But the time I entered but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven because her great love has shown. And whoever has been forgiven, little loves little. God doesn't base our forgiveness off of that performance. He looks at our hearts. He's not judging you from your past mistakes. So stop running from God, but run to God. Take one step towards God, and I promise he's going to start running towards you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. James 4:8 says, come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. He's going to help you get on the right path. He's going to help you clean up the messes that you've made. Your heart matters. We're all going to fall short. But he forgives us, and he's going to show you favor even when you didn't earn it or deserve it. Approve of yourself every day, because God does. And you're going to see his favor, his healing, his grace, and his mercy. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we love you and thank you. Lord, you know that Peter's got this situation at work. And Lord, I just pray that you will work it out positively and in his favor, that favor would go out before him because he has a heart towards you. Lord, help him to realize and accept this and walk in your glory until the next glory. Lord, I thank you for all the prayer requests that have come in via the email, Lord, and via Facebook. Lord, I just pray favor over each and every person, life, and business. Lord, I thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. Lord, I pray that this week be a week that we look back and we say, oh, God, you are so good. You did amazing things. We will praise you and glorify you just for who you are. And then also remember to praise him for everything else that's happening in our lives. Lord, I pray that each person would know that they have the favor of God because we've been blessed by you. We love you and thank you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Make it an incredible week and know that I love you and so does God. I'll be with you again next week. Take care, everybody. Bye now.